Move of the Spirit this morning was to get you and I in a place and a position where we would say what He has said about us. Amen. I know there's a lot of things that's happening in your lives, I know there's a lot of concern about different things. But you and I, we can have concern, but we need to give it to Jesus. Amen. And I know that your heart's heavy for a lot of people. So is mine. And but we can't help them unless we first are in the place where we get help from God. And when we're in that place to get help from Him, we get encouraged and we change our speech to match what He says about us, the way He feels about us, and it just empowers everything about our life. Say, there's a miracle in my mouth.
There's a miracle.
Come on, there is a miracle in your mouth. You and I, we have the ability, right, to prophesy our future. We can be in the place where we prophesy problems, or we can prophesy peace. I want to prophesy peace, don't you?
Amen.
Now, I know that you're feeling the same thing I'm feeling. There's a lot of, like I said, you see what's happening to people's lives, and it's just like a wave. You know, like if you've ever been to the ocean, you know, you get out there a little ways, and that wave goes out and comes back in. And, you know, you get washed back to shore. But you get so far out, and it starts taking you where you don't want to go. I had that happen one time, and that was a little scary. And we've got some people that we love that's near and dear to our heart, and even more so to the Lord's, and they're right there on the edge. Right there on the edge. And your prayers, your faithfulness to the God who is not willing that any should perish, He's going to act on your behalf. Amen? You can move heaven and earth because of your faith in Jesus. And so we need to hold on to those people. Don't let go of them. And don't ever change your words of faith, your confidence. Amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. All right, let's look at something. Acts chapter 2. You know, while you're turning there, I want you to think about, remember what God said in Genesis 2:7? When He breathed into you, and you become a living soul, that means you become a speaking spirit. And so we lost the power and authority when Adam and Eve bowed down, but Jesus gave it back to us. Amen? So hold that in your mind. Acts chapter 2, for sake of time, let's start reading in verse 16. We'll read three verses here. Acts 2:16. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Are you there? Amen?
Yes.
But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, verse 17, and it shall come to pass in the last days. Where are we at? We're in the last days. So I qualify, don't you?
Yes.
I'm in the last days. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, not man, saith God, I will pour out my spirit, out of my spirit, that's the key, upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Sadly, I'm doing a lot of dreaming. Verse 18. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall what? They shall prophesy. Brother Donnie, would you pray?
Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in our hearts, souls, and lives, Lord. Thank you for what you're doing in this service, Lord. I ask for the ability in our mind, the understanding to receive these verses in our heart, Lord. Let us speak life. Let us become life to each another and one another, Lord. Let us understand this life is about our life, Lord, and about our speaking of life to change other people's lives, Lord. In Jesus' name, I ask, amen and amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you, Brother Donnie. Thank you for honoring the word. Hallelujah. So, from the very beginning, it was God's desire for His children to be able to speak His will and His plan, and it be a creative force. That's why, as He brought all the animals to Adam there in the beginning, Adam had the intellect, but more importantly, he had the Holy Spirit inside of him to be able to speak and to be able to look at what the creation that God had and put God's name on it. Now, that's why, Brother Corey, that's why the Spirit of God led him in all of those songs. Think about the words of every one of those songs. They were about speaking the positive, speaking the prophetic, speaking the creative force into existence, because you know the one who inspires you. You know the one who has a heart for you to have the best. Amen? And so as Adam was able to do that, and then through the fall of man, we lost the ability to speak life, and we speak death. That's why Proverbs 18:21 says death and life. It's always misquoted. 99 times out of 10, they'll say life and death, but the scripture says death and life. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and you're going to eat the fruit thereof. So we got to be very cautious in what we say and how we say it. And so here we see that God said, in the last days, by my spirit, I'm going to give people the unction to prophesy. Prophesy simply means to speak under or by the very inspiration of God. So I want you to think about it. As God breathed on His people, over 40 different writers, the Holy Ghost, and they breathed out the Word of God. We have this Bible because they were inspired. That inspiration is in you today. Now, I'm not saying that you have the ability to write the Word of God, because God wrote what needed to be written and it was finished. Amen, in that sense. But in the sense of the book of Acts, the church is still going on. We're writing what God would have for us. And so this morning, there's several battles that's going on in our family, our church family. There's a lot of things that's happening, and people are being pulled in so many different directions, and the enemy wants to bring death and destruction. But you and I this morning, we have the ability to hold on to them by saying what God says. We have the ability to bring in liberty and freedom in their life by speaking, by prophesying, not out of our own heart. We look in the Old Testament, there's many prophets that become prophets of Baal and become prophets of the enemy because they prophesied out of their own heart. We don't do that. We prophesy out of the Spirit of God in our spirit. Amen? And so that's what he's saying here. He said, notice specifically, he said that male and female, young and old, I'm going to pour out my spirit and you shall. See, but you have the free will. I have the free will. This week, there have been so many different struggles happening because, as you and I know, as we pray for each other, and we pray the prayer of intercession, we're in the very place that the person we're praying for is. And so we're feeling what they're feeling, and we're seeing what they're seeing. And sometimes it's hard to differentiate exactly what is happening and how to step back out of that where it doesn't pull us down as well. And sometimes we succeed, and sometimes we don't succeed as fast as we want to, but we never fail. Amen? So I want you to see this morning some things. I want you to hold this in your heart, and I want you to see the power of the Word. Go with me, very familiar, Mark chapter 11, and let's see some things. We've never really taught this way, but you're very familiar with these verses of Scripture. Mark chapter 11, verse 22. Jesus answered and said unto them, have faith in God. And you and I know that it should be translated, have the faith of God. In other words, God wants you to do what He did. He wants you to say what He says. He wants you to be a little g in the earth. Come on, that's what, out of the mouth of Jesus, He said, quoting from Psalms, you are little g's in the earth. He's the King of kings. He's the priest, the great high priest, but we're kings and priests in Him. Amen? Now notice here what it says. Verse 23, for verily I say, now mark that word down, I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain. Now first of all, we're limited because we cannot read the original Greek, but where Jesus is talking and he says, for I say, the Greek word is lego, and it simply means to discourse or to talk, to speak, but it's like, I used an analogy one time, those little Lego blocks. You know, it's like when God gives you something to say, you're building something, you know. But Jesus said, I'm building something in your life. This is what I want. I want you to come back to be a living soul, a speaking spirit. And he said, I'm speaking this in your life. And he said that whatsoever, whatever you say, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain. In other words, so it's back to you. Now this word say here is epo. And this means not just to talk. This means to command. It means to bid. And so in your life and in my life, is there some things that we don't like, that we're not satisfied with, that doesn't match up with the Word of God, then we've got to come back and we've got to say, now, wait a minute. Jesus said He was going to build in my life the ability to command. To call things. What did He do in Abraham's life? Romans 4:17. In Abraham's life, He gave him the ability to call those things that be not as though they... Hallelujah. So he looked in the Spirit and saw what the Word of God said, saw the promises of God. He looked in that, and when the unction come up inside of him, he spoke those words out, and it rolled all of those years back, and it brought life into his dead body. It brought life in the same way with Sarah. Her womb was dead. It brought life back in her. Amen? Because they understood they had the ability. There was a building force in them to create God's will and God's plan. And so Jesus said, if you've got some kind of mountain in your life, if you've got something there, you have the ability to command that mountain and move it out of your way. You know, we had a service like that last week, 2 weeks ago. But notice what he says, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith, he shall have whatsoever he saith. In other words, two different words. First saith, lego. He shall have whatever he's building, because he saith, he epo, he commands. No gender intended, man, woman, boy, girl. You command. You command. And we're not getting on a high horse. We're not elevating ourselves. But we are walking in faith, and we are being what Jesus told us to be. We're being His sons and daughters, His kings and priests in the earth. And so He said, I want you to look at that mountain. I want you to see that built inside of you is the ability to see my will and my plan, and anything that is standing between you and my plan, my words, my promises, you have the ability to command that to be gone, to be dissolved. And as far as your sphere of influence within your household, within your ministry, that goes into people's lives. Right now, you and I, we've got some people, like I said, they're on the precipices. I can see them. They're just a few moments away from that tide taking them further than where they can be reached to be brought back. And you and I, we've got to be dedicated. We've got to be serious. We've got to be men and women of intercessory prayer. We've got to be not only intercessory prayer, but the ability to speak and create what God would have for these people's lives. We need them. Say, I need them. You know why you need them? Because God needs them. God has a plan for every person's life, and they're very needful, especially in these last days, because there's so much going on. There is so much activity. This week, I'm sure you felt it, the activity in the second heaven trying to block us from the will and the mind of God in the third heaven was unbelievable. And we'll talk about that maybe tonight. It was so distracting. But you and I, we are here today, and we have the ability, because God brought us through it, to change some things in our life and in those He would have us to. Okay, notice what he said. He said, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his or her heart, but shall believe those things which he or she saith shall come to pass, he or she shall have whatsoever he or she saith. Now notice this. Therefore I say unto you, verse 24, therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. God wants you to know that you have a desire in your life. And immediately when people, they say, well, wait a minute. Now, you know, that's getting people way out on a tangent. No, see, you're a group of people. You're Psalms 37:4 people. Psalms 37:4 people, you delight yourself in the Lord. And He gives you the desires of your heart. That word delight means that you're soft and pliable in the hands of the potter. And so he puts inside of you His desire, His will, His plan. And so with that understanding, you have the ability to talk to God, but more importantly, talk to the mountain. Who's the loved one right now that you're interceding for? Who's the person in the community that you know that needs a touch from the Almighty God? You have the ability, you have the voice, you have the audience of the King, and you have the audience of all the holy angels to be moved and motivated by the Word of God and to go and to reach that person no matter where they're at, no matter what they're going through, because you are the person and the person of the hour. Amen? You are the church of the living God, and we need to prophesy what God would have us to say. The world is calling them finished. The world is saying it's over. The world is saying they're bound up and they can't ever come out. But you and I know Jesus. He is the deliverer. Amen. He is the Son who makes free, and you're free indeed. So here we are this morning. We have this opportunity to see that the mountain is nothing compared to our God. Our God is the mountain of the Lord. Amen. He is the mountain that is going to bring that beautiful 1,500 mile cube city out of heaven that's going to be there for all of eternity. He's the God that has orchestrated it. He's the God that has created that. He's the God that you and I have a destiny in that. And so we need to speak to any other mountain and command it to bow. Now you say, now wait a minute, I don't know about this. I want you to mark this down, and I want your faith to be built like never before. Go with me to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. And let's read between the lines. You know, sometimes we miss something by reading black and white, and we miss what as much as what is being said but not seeing what was not said. Amen? All right. Now, don't get lost here, but stay with me. Luke chapter 9, verse 51. And it came to pass, when the time was come that he, Jesus, should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to Jerusalem. Verse 52. Now, you know these scriptures because we've preached on them many times. Verse 52. And he sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into the village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. Now, look what happens. Verse 53. And they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. Verse 54. And when his disciples, James and John, say James and John. Come on, the sons of thunder. James has to do with grace. John has to do with love. The apostle of love. And so by the grace of God, you and I receive the love of God. But I want you to see what happens here. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them even as Elias did? Now stay with me. Verse 55. But he, Jesus, turned and rebuked them and said, you know not that you cannot do that. He didn't say that, did he? He said, you don't know what spirit you are. He did not tell them they couldn't do it. Why? Because the precedent was set in the Old Testament. Come on now. You have more power and more authority than you ever dreamed of, than you ever thought was possible. And we're not talking about killing people. We're talking about Jesus said, John the Baptist said of Jesus, he said, when he has come, in Luke chapter 3, he said, when Jesus has come, he is going to destroy the root by his fire. And he talked about the fire of the Holy Ghost, which is of Jesus, that you and I, that we lay that axe to the root, the Word of God that's on fire, we lay it to the root, and it burns it, it dissolves it. Now notice, here they are, they don't like the way that Jesus is being treated. They don't like this at all. And so they may have not had the right spirit, but Jesus did not tell them they couldn't do it. He just told them they need to act in love. They need to walk in love. See, we limit ourselves because we are under the assumption that that Elijah was a special person for a special time. Guess what? You're a special person for a special time. Because every one of God's children is special in His eyes, and every one of God's children has their own unique anointing, their own calling, and their ability by the Word of God to do what thus saith the Lord. Now, can you imagine? Here they are. And all of a sudden, Jesus, He brings this truth to them, and there's a little adjustment in their heart, and now they're not operating out of hatred or anger, but they're operating out of love. And the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 12 and 14 is about the gifts of the Spirit of God, and chapter 13 is the love chapter. The gifts work perfectly when love is in the middle of them. Amen? And so all of a sudden, Jesus gives them a little adjustment here, and now they're in the place and the position where by love they can call down what needs to be called down, where people's lives can be changed, where their eyes can be opened, where their lives can be directed by the Spirit of God instead of by the mindset of what's happening on the outside. Come on, you with me? Hallelujah. Verse 56. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy lives, but to save them, and they go into another village. But Jesus said, this is my purpose. So you know what the purpose of Jesus is. The purpose is to save lives. All right? So that means you and I, right now, we can name enough people that we don't have fingers and toes that we know right now that need saving. Whether it's saving of the spirit, or whether it's the saving of the soul, or whether it's the saving of the body. And so we need to be in the place and position to say, I know that I have the ability, in the name of Jesus, to prophesy over their life, to speak some fire in their life, to burn some cords off of them. See, the cords may be self-inflicted. See, with Samson, the cords, they were self-inflicted. He brought the cords on himself, but the Holy Ghost didn't say, I'm going to leave you alone. He come upon him, and the cords were burned off of him. Amen? And so, you and I today, we've got to see that we've got to get our mindset, because people make mistakes, okay? They make bad decisions. They make bad choices. I know, because I'm a person. But you and I, we're not going to let their choices influence how we pray for them, how we witness to them, how we minister to them, because God never done that to us. Amen? And so what we're going to do is, we're not going to say, boy, you shouldn't have done that. Now you're in a mess. No, we're going to say, let me tell you about the one who can burn this off of your life, who can burn it out of your life, who can make you completely and totally free. That's what we're going to prophesy. That's what we're going to talk about. As the Spirit gives us utterance, we're going to say that. Let's just go and let's look at 1 Corinthians 14 for a second. Verse number 1, 1 Corinthians 14, 1. He says, follow after charity. In other words, pursue charity. He tells us, in chapter 12, to earnestly covet the best gifts. And of course, the best gift is to prophesy. But he said, follow, pursue after charity, after love, and desire, you know, covet spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. Now, we'll go back to that. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God, for no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. Now, you and I, we have the ability, being born again and baptized in the Spirit of God, you have the ability, anytime you choose to open your mouth and to start praying. Praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues, however you wish to determine it. And you say, well, no, I don't have that gift. Yes, when you got born again, the Spirit of God come inside of you. And you can let that lay dormant, and you can say it's a second experience, and it can be a second experience, but it can be right there at salvation, whether you believe it or not. I dealt with it. I let the devil cheat me out for 15 years of his best, and I don't want that to happen to you, amen? So I want you to know that by faith, you can open up and you can pray, because the Spirit is going to give you utterance, because the Spirit is the mind of God. And the mind of God is, He's always talking. He is always creating. He's always bringing revelation of His will in the earth. And so, you've got to have a desire to prophesy. You've got to have the desire of the Lord. In other words, because you're pursuing with love, all of a sudden, you're driving down the road, or you're standing in line to pay for your gas or to pay for your groceries or whatever. And all of a sudden, there's a desire comes up inside of you. You see somebody. And you may not be able to physically make it to them in the physical, but you make it to them in the spiritual. And all of a sudden, you, by the Spirit of God, you just have an urgency to pray. And you start praying. And sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes then, God will take what you prayed. He'll bring revelation to you. And then you speak that out. And when you speak that out, you've took that prayer in the Spirit, that prayer of tongues, and you've prophesied it out. You've spoke it into the earth. And when you speak that into the earth, it's a creative force. There's a birthing process. There's a power on it. And all of a sudden, you may never see it till you get to heaven. But you have had an impact. You have changed somebody's life. Amen. That's what this life is all about, is that Jesus, He touched the multitudes. We read about where literally people come and touched Him, and He laid hands on people. But I want you to see, every time He opened His mouth, He touched people. He touched them. They might have been like the little old lady. She finally, in Mark chapter 5, she fought her way through and she grabbed the hem of his garment, wherever you would choose to believe that that is. She grabbed the hem of his garment and she was healed. But there was many others, multitudes, myriads of people that got touched by the word. They let that prophetic word come into their life and it changed them. Well, how does God talk in the earth today? Through you. You're the temple. See, people had to go to the temple in the Old Testament. But now, you, the people, are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is everywhere. Because you're everywhere. Amen? Okay, now notice. But he that prophesieth, who speaks under that inspiration that we talked about where God said that you shall do this. Verse 3. But he or she that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. You have the ability to change a person's life by just saying what God tells you to say. Isn't that something? Now, remember it says to prophesy means to speak under inspiration. So that means you don't have to feel the pressure on yourself. All you do is you just say, Lord, I'm going to step back out of the way. You say through me whatever, I give you permission. You use my tongue. You use my body. Right now, you bought it and paid for it. And you say whatever you'd say. Yes. It's the greatest liberty and the greatest freedom. It's hard to get there, but after you get there, you love it. Yes. And you may find a way to stay there. I've never found a way to stay there yet, but we're getting better. Amen? We're growing. Look what it says, verse 4. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. So in your own life, you can edify yourself. You can build yourself up. This edify is like an edifice. I want you to think about what the most secure structure is in your mind's eye. You know, somebody might think of Fort Knox. Somebody might think of some military facility or whatever. Whatever you might think of, you see that great edifice that seems to be impenetrable. Well, it's been built up. Well, by the Spirit of God, you have the ability to build yourself up by opening up your mouth and praying. It doesn't have to be like some of the greatest, most powerful prayers has been standing in line when all opposition is against us and sit there and just pray in tongues under your breath. Or when you're trying to talk to witness to somebody, or you're trying to understand what somebody's really saying when they're telling you one thing and you know it's not the truth, you just sit there and pray in the Spirit. You're edifying yourself. You're building yourself up by the power of the Spirit of God. And then when God gives you leave to say what He has spoken to your spirit, not only does it edify you, it can edify them. Now remember, Jesus didn't tell Peter and John that they couldn't do it. He just told them you need to do it by the right spirit. You need to do it walking in love. Say, I walk in love. Come on, you do. The love of God has been shed abroad in your heart, Romans 5:5, over and over and over. So you walk in love. Now, so we got to see how, Matthew chapter 18, we got to see how careful we've got to be with what we say. Because when we come in agreement with whatever words are being spoken, whatever spirit is behind that, it has to be of God. Or if it's not of God, it's going to be of the enemy. Amen. Now in Matthew chapter 18, you know these scriptures very well. Jesus says in verse 19, Matthew 18, 19, again I say unto you that if two of you agree, say two, if two of you agree as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. And of course, you know, he's talking about where two or three are. He's in the midst, and he's talking about binding and loosening. But I want you to know that you can always agree with the Spirit of God whether you have nobody else that agree with you or not. Sometimes, you know, I've not been able to understand to be able to agree with somebody. You know, and that's not nobody's fault. It's just I haven't been there. I haven't been able to get into that place. And that's okay. But that person can always agree with the Spirit of God. I can always agree with the Spirit of God. If somebody's not understanding what's going on, I don't have to have something external. I've got somebody that's internal. I've got the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Amen. And so he tells us here, he says, you have the ability to, in the positive but in the negative. So you got to be so cautious when all of a sudden across the very bud of your mind you hear the thought, they'll never be saved. They'll never be healed. They'll never be delivered. Or they're not a benefit of my time. They're not worthy of my time. All of these things. Because in the moment we come in agreement with that, the influence that God had gave us, the ability to present to them with love, truth, it's bound. And so we got to be so cautious. I got to be so cautious about negativity. Because when things happen, the enemy it's like that wave coming and it just rolls over me with negativity. And because he wants me to agree that it's bad and it ain't going to do nothing but get worse. And so, you know, we can't do anything about what we've done in the past except renounce it. But we got to be in the place and the position where we always agree with the Lord. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's look at this just a little bit more. In 2 Corinthians 4, I want to read verse 18 first of all. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." We've got to always ask the Lord, what am I seeing? Yes. Am I looking at the temporal? Am I allowing the fall of mankind and the negativity that works in this spirit of the fallen nature? Am I letting it create an image? Am I allowing it to put words in my mouth? Am I allowing it to bring a creation force in my life? Or am I looking to the eternal? See, and I ask the Lord just to empower me and to cause me to focus. Now, why do we do that? Because let's go back. Look at verse number 6. Let's look at the example of God. 2 Corinthians 4:6. "For God, who commanded the light..." Now, notice this. That word command, epo, same one that we were talking about, where Jesus said that whoever saith to that mountain... You know, whoever commands that mountain, whoever commands that situation, this is that same word, epo. Where Luke 9:54, where James and John said, "Shall we command fire down from heaven?" Okay, that same word. "For God who commanded," he spoke, "the light to shine out of the darkness." Now think about this. God is there. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It says in the book of Genesis that the Holy Spirit was hovering on the face of the deep. And if you look at that word hovering and you look at the etymology of it, it goes back, not to be vulgar, but it goes back to a husband hovering over a wife. So we're talking about a creative force is fixing to happen, that something is fixing to be birthed. What is fixing to be birthed? God speaks, Jesus, the Word, and the Holy Spirit takes that Word, and all of a sudden, as darkness is everywhere, God commanded, He caused light to shine out of the darkness and to change the whole world. You can change the whole world. Your world. Let's don't get overwhelmed by what's happening somewhere else because unless God has put it on your heart to intercede or to pray there or He's going to move you there, you keep things in focus. You have a ministry where you're at. The Bible tells us very clearly, bloom where you're planted. Amen. You have the ability to produce fruit like nobody else where you're at. And so God commanded. "For God commanded, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, who shined in our," say mine, "who shine in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." See, the Bible says, because Jesus always beheld the face of the Father, you and I, we can behold the face of Jesus. We have the face of God. That brings number 624, 625 into our life. Let the face of God shine upon you, the Aaronic, the priesthood blessing. The light of God, the goodness of God. But He wants to shine it on you where He can shine it through you. Amen? To change everything. So, think about it. Now, this morning, I want you to be encouraged because I don't want to get in a theological debate what you believe about Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2, but when if you look at the word, the earth, it became void, okay? What happened? The catapult, Satan and the overthrow and all of those things where he took a third of God's angels and all that, but that didn't stop God. God didn't say, oh, well, I lost my worship leader. I lost a third of my helpers. What did he do? He spoke into the darkness. And he created what he wanted. He wants you and I to create his will and his plan. There's so many negative things that's happening in this all over, but in this county right now, and out of the mouth of people, they don't understand what they're doing. They're coming in agreement with darkness. We don't have to have crime elevate. We don't have to have destructive forces hinder and blind and lead people farther away. We can create what God would have for us. Amen? Okay. So, He commanded that light to shine. So I want you to know that you have the ability this morning, to whoever is on your heart, whoever you know that is fixing to be carried further than they can ever come back to, you have the ability to intercede. You have the ability to speak some things. You have the authorization as the Spirit of God would move on your heart to change situations. Amen. Let's look real quick. We was in Luke 9. Let's look at Luke 10 in closing. I won't read all of this because maybe we'll get to preach on it again. We've preached on it many times. But I want you to look here at Mary and Martha at the end of the chapter. And I just want to key in on what, when she talked to Jesus, she says in Luke 10 and 40, but Martha was cumbered. She was distracted with all kinds of care about much serving. And she came to him. She came to Jesus and she said, Lord, doest thou not care? You know, Jesus, he's not anxious about one thing. He cares. He loves. But he's not worried in any form or fashion. He's declared the end from the beginning. All is well. You just sit back and rest in him. Amen. Dost thou not care that my sister had left me to serve alone? Notice what Martha says. She says, bid her, therefore, that she'll come and help me. That word, epo. Bid her. Command her that she will come and help me. Now, it goes back to, the reason why we're closing with this thought is, I want you to see that if you have the right spirit, you know, James and John, at first, till Jesus corrected them, they had the wrong spirit. Here, Martha, she has the wrong spirit. But you have the assurance this morning that you're walking in love. Amen? That you love Jesus, that you love God first, and you love yourself, because He empowers you to, and then you love everyone around you. So you're walking in love. And so here we have an example where Jesus says to her, Martha, Martha, verse 41, thou art careful, you're distracted and troubled by many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. So Jesus doesn't address that. So what I want you to do this morning, I want you to see that when you're walking in love, you have the assurance that you're going to have the desire that you're praying because it's the desire of the Lord. Amen? And so you can recognize anything in my life. What I'm trying to do is to help you and I. If there's something that hasn't been answered before, we try the 1 John 4:1. Try the spirits to see if it's of God or not. And if it's not, then we put it down and we say, Lord, I'm going to pray this now out of love. I'm going to pray this now, not out of selfishness, but I'm going to pray it out of what is best for the other person. See, sometimes God didn't answer my prayer because I wanted the other person because it wasn't for them, it was for me. But we're going to do it out of love and we're going to see some things happen. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Now see, you and I, we know some people, they're struggling in their body. And there's attacks there. We're not going to deny. You cannot deny a problem in your body and think that that's faith and get healed. No. You and I, we say, I understand what's working in my body, but I know that by the stripes of Jesus Christ, I am the healed of the Lord. Amen? I am the healed of the Lord by His stripes. And so He undoes what the enemy means for harm. But also, there's some people, they're going through a battle. Their mind is so tired. I'm telling you, they're just barely keeping their nose above water. And it seems like just as soon as they get where they can get another breath, here comes another wave, and it's carrying them out farther. And so what you and I are going to say, Lord, You said that You would make a way. Come on, 1 Corinthians 10:13, You'll make a way of escape. So in the name of Jesus, I'm speaking a way of escape. In the name of Jesus, Lord, open up their eyes or their spirit. Let them see which way to turn, that it shields them from that next wave. Let them see which way to turn where they're pulled in instead of took out by the riptide. Amen? Come on now, we're talking about how to do some things, how to change some things. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I'm speaking a blessing of revelation into our leaders' lives. Come on, they need the direction of the Lord. They need the mind of God. They can't make a decision to get us out of this mess. We need to speak blessing over them. We need to ask God. Come on, and God will do it. This thing is, God has not left us. Now, you can get on the left-hand side with the enemy if you want to and say that it's over. I don't think it's over. I think God is still looking for awakening. He's looking to use America in this last day's revival to bring people in. It's not over. So don't come in agreement with the enemy. Stand strong. And this morning I want you to let the Spirit of God move on you, and wherever you want to pray at, your seat or wherever, I want you to consider those people who are right now, they're in a place, but you are going to be able to prophesy. You're going to be able to pray. You're going to be able to bring promises into their life that'll change the situation. Amen? 'Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, touch every person. Anything that would be a distraction, anything that would be a hindrance, let it be bound in the name of Jesus. Let it be put under Your feet. Lord, just inspire. Move upon us. We make ourselves available. We give You leeway to guide and direct us. And anything that would hurt or hinder what You would do this morning, we say no in the name of Jesus. And we thank You, Lord, for moving and touching those people that we're going to pray for, and that their lives are going to forever be changed, and they're going to have a season. They're going to have a season to recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. They're going to have a season to come to the Almighty God, the grace, and we give You praise and we thank You in advance for it. Let it be in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Find yourself a place to pray and just let the Spirit of God inspire you. You know right now who's on your heart. You know who is being just torn to and fro. Right now, I want you to speak into their lives whatever is needed. As you speak into their lives what is needed, all of a sudden you'll find that that thing that was needed in your life, it just all of a sudden took care of. That's just the kind of God we serve. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord.